This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and here we are in Holy Week. And today what I want to do is talk a little bit about the battle that this week is the culmination of the spiritual combat, the cosmic spiritual battle between the kingdom of light and kingdom of darkness that's unfolding. That's the drama of what's happening here. Jesus is going to the cross freely with a decision of his will in an act of love that's going to bring down the kingdom of darkness. The mortal enemy of the human race is Satan and all of his demons. And what Jesus came to do, he's the one who enslaved the human race, seduced the human race, and Jesus came to break his power over the human race. We talked about yesterday, if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, Ephesians chapter 2, that beautiful passage in which St. Paul gets right down to the very foundation. What is this all about? What is Christianity all about? What is Christian anthropology? What is the meaning of the human person? What does Jesus' life, passion, death, and resurrection do? What does it accomplish? And he said, he made us alive when we were dead. The death-directed destiny of the human race is a reality. And apart from, and that means eternal death. And apart from this saving act, this battle that we will walk through together again with our Lord, the fundamentals of what happened to him, beginning in the garden and finally the crucifixion itself. And then we celebrate on Sunday the resurrection from the dead. That is, Paul describes, what did Jesus do there? He disarmed the principalities and powers and he made a public show of them. He brought down the kingdom of darkness. He broke the hold over the human race. And we're going to look at that a little bit today, but I wanted to start with, it's so important for us, friends, to not see the grand story of the gospel as somehow it's a myth or dimensions of it are mythic, in the sense that a lot of moderns think about mythic, which is it's not real. It's just a big story to communicate some truths about the origin story of a people. And what we're talking about here is today is the revelation of a fallen demonic power that really did enslave the human race, tempted us in the garden, and has exercised the dominion and left the human race in a state of slavery without hope for an eternal future. Many people in the church today, even some people at the scholarly level, priests and others, don't believe in the devil. They don't believe the devil is a real being or a real person. It's a kind of psychology, a way of understanding the mystery of evil. That's not the way Jesus talked about it. That's not the way the church fundamentally teaches about it. There was a number of years ago, way back when Pope Paul VI was Pope, was in 1972, he wrote a document, actually gave a talk at a general audience to the church, reflecting on the reality and sort of reclaiming the church's teaching and articulating it on the reality of who is the devil, that he's real. And so I just want to get a few sections from his talk here and communicate them so we can chew on it a little bit as we understand the nature of the battle that Jesus is entering into this week, that as we recall it. He began with, what are the church's greatest needs at the present time? Don't be surprised at our answer, and don't write it off as simplistic or even superstitious. One of the church's greatest needs is to be defended against the evil that we call the devil. He said, before clarifying what we mean, we'd like to invite you to open your minds to the light that faith casts on the vision of human existence. A vision which, from this observation point of faith, reaches out to immense distances and penetrates to unique depths. To tell the truth, the picture that we are invited to behold with an all-encompassing realism is a beautiful one. It's the picture of creation, the work of God. He himself admired it substantially. You know, God said what he created was good. And when he created man, he said, very good. He's about to share his reflection of God's wisdom. His creation is a reflection of his wisdom and power. He said, then there's the interesting picture of the dramatic history of humankind leading to the history of the redemption and of Christ. The history of our salvation with its stupendous treasures of revelation, prophecy, and holiness, of life elevated to a supernatural level, of eternal promises. I love that. That's exactly where the drama of this week is reminding us. It's taking us into the depths. Knowing how to look at this picture cannot help but leave us enchanted. Everything has a meaning, a purpose, an order, and everything gives us a glimpse of a transcendent presence, a thought, a life, and ultimately a love, so that the universe, both by reason of what it is and what it is not, offers us an inspiring, joyful preparation for something even more beautiful and more perfect. The Christian vision of the universe and of life is therefore triumphantly optimistic. Christian hope, right? And this vision fully justifies our joy and gratitude for being alive so that we sing forth our happiness in celebrating God's glory. What he's trying to do here is lay a foundation, a Christian understanding of God's good creation, that it really is good, even though there's evil present here and the stakes are incredibly high. Christian hope allows us to see through the darkness and the dominion of darkness that the devil wields over the human mind and to say, it's good. God's creation is good. And he's going to bring it to completion. He's going to bring about a new creation in his son. He said, but is this vision complete and correct? Are the defects in the world of no account? What are the things that don't work properly in our lives? What of suffering and death and wickedness and cruelty and sin? In a word, what of evil? Don't we see much evil there is in the world, especially moral evil, which goes against man and against God at one and the same time, although in different ways? Isn't this a sad spectacle, an unexplainable mystery? And aren't we the lovers of the word, the people who sing of the good? We believers, aren't we the ones who are most sensitive and most upset by our observation and experience of evil? We find evil in the realm of nature, where so many of its expressions seem to speak to us of some sort of disorder. Then we find it among human beings in the form of weakness, frailty, suffering, death, and something more worse, the tension between two laws in the human person, one reaching for the good, the other directed toward evil. St. Paul points out this torment in humiliating fashion to prove our need of salvific grace for the salvation brought by Christ, which we talked about yesterday in that beautiful Ephesians 2 passage. And also our great good fortune in being saved. Even before this, a pagan poet had described this conflict within the very human heart. I see what is better and I approve of it, but then I follow the worse. We come face to face with sin here, he's saying, which is a perversion of human freedom and the profound cause of death because it involves detachment from God, who's the source of life. And then sin in its turn becomes the occasion and the effect of interference in us and our work by a dark, hostile agent, the devil. Evil is not merely an absence of something, but an active force. Spiritual being, a living spiritual being that is perverted and that perverts others. It is a terrible reality, a mysterious and frightening reality. He said that, you know, human beings struggle with this. They refuse to acknowledge the reality of the devil as a kind of pseudo-reality, conceptual, fanciful personification of unknown causes and that sort of thing. But he moves more deeply and he describes it this way. He says, many passages in the gospel show us that we are dealing not just with one devil, principalities and powers, which he describes beautifully here. He says, the lurking shadow of this wicked presence is pointed up in many, many passages in St. Paul in the New Testament. St. Paul calls him the God of this world and warns us of a struggle we Christians must carry on in the dark, not only against the one devil, but against a frightening multiplicity of them. So he quotes Paul, Ephesians, talking about putting on the armor of God so we can stand against the tactics of the devil. He said many of the passages, the gospel show us that we're dealing not just with one devil, but with many. But the principal one is Satan, the Holy Father is saying here, which means the adversary, the enemy. And along with him are many others, all of them creatures of God, but fallen because they rebelled and they were damned. A whole mysterious world convulsed by a most unfortunate drama about which we know very little, ultimately. And now he describes the devil more directly. He said, there are many things we do know, however, about this diabolical world, things that touch on our lives and on the whole history of mankind. The devil is at the origin of mankind's first misfortune. He was the wily, fatal tempter involved in the first sin, the original sin. The fall of Adam gave the devil a certain dominion over man, from which only Christ's redemption can free us. It is a history that is still going on. Let us recall the exorcisms at baptism and frequent references in sacred scripture and in the liturgy to the aggressive, oppressive powers of darkness. The devil is the number one enemy, the preeminent tempter. Again, these are the words of Pope Paul VI. So we know that this dark, disturbing being exists and that he is still at work with his treacherous cunning. And then this description is really something. He says, he's the hidden enemy who sows errors and misfortunes in human history. It is worth recalling the revealing gospel parable of the good seed and the cockle, for it synthesizes and explains the lack of logic that seems to preside over our contradictory experiences. An enemy has done this, sowing the weeds within the wheat, right? Jesus said, don't pull them out till the end of time. He goes on to say, he's a murderer from the beginning and the father of lies, as Christ defines him. He undermines man's moral equilibrium with his sophistry. He is the malign, clever seducer who knows how to make his way into us through the senses, the imagination, the libido, through utopian logic, or through disordered social contacts in the give and take of our activities, so that he can bring about in us deviations that are all the more harmful because they seem to conform to our physical and mental makeup or to our profound instinctive aspirations. So he describes very clearly what the church believes about the devil, that he's real. And so it's helpful for us to see this personal being is precisely who Jesus is going after in Holy Week and who he absolutely disarms on the cross in the shedding of his blood. And we'll talk about that as the week goes on. Jesus won a victory over a kingdom that's set against God and it's set against the human race. This is what we're celebrating. And the result of it, we'll see, is in the heart of Jesus, in the decision of Jesus, in the love of Jesus that brought down that kingdom. Just the opposite of the devil. And we have so much to live in and from in this week, friends, to give us the strength to stand against the devil's tactics in our own lives. God bless you. Hope you can join me tomorrow.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.